mercy and love at the feet. Tonight. Yes, we'll fall down. We're gonna lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love. Church tonight.
Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to get to be back in church. We had a time here last night, or not last night, but Wednesday night. Some of you had a good time here last night too. But we had a wonderful, wonderful service. And the presence of the Lord, I tell you what, it's worth everything in the world for the presence of the Lord to be among us. Aren't you glad that you can come to a place, not just this place? We're, as Brother Donnie said so many times, we're a little grain of sand in God's great big world. But aren't you glad to be a part of it? Aren't you glad to be one of those grains of sand? Do you love Him with all your heart tonight? Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it gets better all the time, Brother Terry. Just when you think the Word of the Lord can't get any better and you can't enjoy it anymore, you just end up doing it anyway. And the Word of the Lord is so precious. We're glad you're here tonight. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Praise the Lord.
we could sing that one more time from our heart. Oh, now we'll fall down, we'll lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet. Say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. We've got so many visitors here tonight in the service with us, and we're just really glad to have all of you here. We're going to be hearing some songs from some of these folks here just in a little bit. But we want to welcome to the service tonight Pastor Tony Roberts, his wife Elisa, and daughter Anna. We want to welcome them. They're from Van Buren, Arkansas. Where would you folks be? Raise your hand right here. God bless them. Give them a good hand tonight. Certainly glad to have you in the service with us. Praise the Lord. All of our visitors, God bless you. We're glad to have you. Want to pray for Brother Keith Phillips. Stomach problems. The Lord knows all about the need. We just pray for him. Also, Bill and Linda Kennedy, both sick, need a touch from the Lord. Want to remember Sister Ayers' mother from West Virginia. The doctors told her yesterday that she has cancer in her bone marrow. She's trusting in God to heal her, and she's believing in your prayer. So we certainly want to just remember that need tonight. Sister Rachel wants us to remember Brother Randy Scott in prayer. Been sick since Monday, needs a healing touch from the Lord. So we just want to commit that to the Lord tonight. The youth would like to thank Brother Donnie and all the brothers and sisters that made the banquet a huge success. Everyone had a great time. So we're thankful for that tonight. Brother Ed Yance, very sick in body. We'll remember him tonight in prayer. And his granddaughter also is sick. So let's pray for those folks tonight. The Lord would be mindful of them. And this is another just a thank you note. We would like to thank all the ones that helped with the banquet last night and at the pavilion today. We appreciate all of your hard work. So thank you again. Please pray for Sister Rachel Estep and family. Her daughter Connie passed away on Friday. So we certainly want to pray for the peace of the Lord in their lives. The family from this assembly has an urgent, unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about, which is committed unto Him. Brother Ryan says that a co-worker asked our church to pray for her sister, Deborah Rivera, suffering mental illness. So we want to commit that unto the Lord tonight and ask God to be mindful. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Do you believe God's able? Yes. Somebody say He's able. Yes. Brother Rob, come tonight if you would. Lead us to the Lord as we stand tonight. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord, asking Him to have His divine will in all these situations. God's good, isn't He? Amen. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. God bless you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, we come before you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come into your presence. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you come and be welcome in this place. We thank you for the prayer requests that are made here, Lord, an opportunity for you to display your power. We thank you, Lord, for the weekend and the guests that are here, Lord, and the opportunity for a youth event. As I saw that last night, I saw the youth and how I long for the day eternal youth springs upon us. I pray, Lord, for your grace. I spoke to a brother today at that event, and he was explaining to me, Lord, it broke my heart. I add him to this prayer request list and the fact that he was looking for the Holy Ghost and didn't think that the Holy Ghost would come since Brother Branham's day. And I was so amazed. I couldn't believe what it is that he was telling me. I pray, Lord God, that you'd release him from that thought and that recognize that the Holy Ghost is for whosoever will. Lord, let them come. I pray, Lord God, for the life to be expressed. I pray, Lord, that this service, that we create an atmosphere, Lord, that healing, deliverance, power could manifest itself, Lord, that you would have your way with us. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, in this service. I pray for these prayer requests. I pray for the most deepest desire of our hearts, Lord, to be known to us and that you could move on our behalf, Lord, I pray. Help us to get out of the way of ourselves. Help the minister, Lord, minister the word. Let it have free course among us. I pray, Lord God, let it drop in our hearts and give birth, Lord, to what it is you've seen in your people. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Lord, what would we do without life? I pray, Lord God, drop it in our hearts this day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're, as I said a while ago, all of our visitors, we thank you for being here in our assembly with us tonight. Hope you have an enjoyable time during this service. And all those that are streaming this service tonight, we want to say God bless those that are streaming. I pray this service will be a blessing to them also tonight. Let's sing a little song. We sing it. Everything we sing around here, we've sung it to death, and we will learn some more shortly, I do promise you. But let's sing a song tonight. Be bold. Be strong. Because the Lord thy God is with thee. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight? If you sing the way you responded to my question, be about four of us singing tonight. I know this. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. But I know who's in charge. And my life is in His hands. Be bold. Be strong because He's with you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Play some of it, guys, while we sing it.
Blessed be the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've got some singers here from different places. I don't know if I'll be able to get to all of our songs tonight, but we're going to do the best we can. Brother William Andes is here. He has a song. If he would come onto the platform. Sister Shia, she's here tonight. I hope I got that name close to right. Brother Isaiah will deal with me later on, I'm sure, if that's not right. But she's here, has a song. I thought I had one more, but maybe that's the only two I've got tonight. If you're here in the morning and you're, we actually got Hannah Brandner has a special tonight. So if you two sisters will come onto the platform and sing after our brother. You going to play and sing? You just going to sing? All right. Let's give him a nice hand tonight as he gets ready to sing for us.
Amen. God bless you all. It's good to be here tonight. And, I was thinking the other day, back in October, I was just thinking about all the people that were leaving the message and leaving the word. I was just thinking, what a tragedy. The devil puts thoughts in the young people's minds and says, that prophet, he died 50 years ago. Why are you still serving? Why are you still believing that? He says all that message is just, it's too strict, it's too hard. But I believe tonight, Lord, that the message isn't dead. God's not dead. His power's not dead tonight. You believe that tonight? So just sing with me if you learn this song with me.
People say that our God's dead. He has no power or might. They deny that he's living. Think this faith is a lie. We can't help that they say this, for they do not understand. They wonder and reason. Say Jesus was just a man. But what about the truth? What about the light? What about the message? Is it still alive? Just think upon his goodness that he's done in your life. It's not just some story. God's power is alive. Many people are leaving God's voice in this day. They're leaning to reason and the world's filthy way. But we have a vision. You believe that? There's no power can hold us back. Just stay faithful with Jesus, and he'll keep you on track. So what about the truth? I ask you, what about the light? What about the message? Is it still alive? Yeah, just think upon his goodness that he's done in your life. It's not just some story. God's power is alive. So this is still the truth. This is still the light. This is still the message. Oh yes, it is alive. Yeah. Just think upon his goodness that he's done in your life. It's not just some story. God's power is alive. So just think upon his goodness that he's done in your life. It's not just some story. God's power is alive. It's not just some story. God's power is alive. God's power is alive.
Good evening. This song has been on my heart a lot lately, and when God puts it on your heart, you just kind of have to sing it, you know? So here we go. I hope it blesses you guys.
For me, you will never leave me.
promise you guys, this last year God has really done some miracles in my life, and He's really just been dealing with me on the subject of His promises, and everything He's promised us. It's amazing when you look through the Bible and see all these things that He promises, that He's our deliverer, He's our comforter, He's our healer. But we have to believe in those promises. And I just pray this song blesses you. I know some of you guys have already heard it, but... Can you hear the voice of the Father inviting you to walk on the water? Risk it all. Answer the call and enter in. Now we stand on every promise. We're not afraid. Our faith goes before us. When we believe, we're gonna see the supernatural. We're gonna see what we're praying for. We believe every single word, stronger than we've ever been. Standing on His promises, we're gonna see supernatural. Stronger than we've ever been. We are standing on His promises. We will face the darkness around us as we break the chains that have bound us. Yes, it's true, we can do the impossible. So we stand with keys to the kingdom to declare the day of our freedom. Oh, and we believe we're gonna see the supernatural. We're gonna see the impossible.
Sing it, Brother Don Kemp's.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Awake, north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden that the spices may flow out. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. My beloved's foe said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Let's sing it again. Saturate my soul.
Saturate my soul.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Again. Oh, saturate my soul. Let the mighty river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we ask tonight that that would be more than a song. May it be the very petition and desire of our soul. Who are we that the Lord God would desire to come into our garden to take of His precious fruits? Who are we that He would say, I have longed to eat this supper with you? Dear God, I pray, may your bride around the world be empowered to ask, to petition you to come into her garden. We're not bold enough on our own. We're not challenged enough on our own. For we realize we're humans and we have such weaknesses and frailties. But if you will empower us, we know you will come to the garden which you are asked to come. So empower us, Lord. Give us a recognition of who we are, that we may invite you to our table. May we say, let my beloved come into his garden and take of his precious fruits. Speak to us tonight from your word, blessed Father. We love you with all of our hearts. Lord God, I pray these prayer calls I'm going to preach with tonight. Dear God, you see the needs. Lord Jesus, I just ask that your presence would go to these needs and minister to them, Father. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, if you would, chapter 4, verse 15. Certainly want to extend our welcome to those that are still staying over with us from the banquet that we had last night. Had a wonderful time over there. And once to say, I want to appreciate all the work of the sisters and all of those that did so much to make it so nice for our young people. Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 15, we'll read verses 15 and 16 and then the beginning of chapter 5 verse 1. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. And this is describing the bride, who she is. And then she says, awake, O north wind, come thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Chapter 5, verse 1. This is his response. She invites him. This is his response. I am come into my garden. You mean he could come and her not know it? She's asking, and his answer is, I'm here. Oh, hallelujah. Not I am coming, but I am come into my garden. Listen how he addresses her now. My sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Listen to the possessive of every one of these things that he's describing. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad I belong to him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want anything Jesus takes from me to be borrowed. I want it to be his. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on these words. As she petitions him in verse 16, let my beloved come into his garden. When the north wind begins to blow upon a soul which has had these graces of God, to perform in them only which God can do, and it begins to miraculously blow upon the life of this individual, it begins to diffuse the fragrance of the works of God. She invites him, she calls him in verse 16, let my beloved come into his garden. She calls him hers. She calls him hers. He is her beloved. And let me say it in such a way not to offend you, but she does not share him with others. The queens, the concubines, the virgins all seek after him, but none of them have the position that she has. She is beautiful as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem. So she has now, the bride has come to a spot to where she says, let my beloved. So whenever she first begins to come into his presence, she is basing his love for her love for him, on a much more simple term. But now she's coming to a place of recognition to where she's identifying it as ours and his and mine. We know that this is a sign, of course, of growth. The bride calls herself actually his garden. She calls herself, let my beloved come into his garden. So she's come to a place that she recognizes she is not her own. She has truly been delivered from Laodicea. You see, the Laodicean rites that are so prevalent in the day that we live in, they are also prevalent in the church world. Because the church wants to do what they want to do. They want to live the way they want to live, talk the way they want to talk, do whatever they want to do. They don't want nobody to tell them how to live or how to do this and that and the other. But that's not a sign of bride. That's a sign of a drunk Laodicean. That's right. Because Laodicea wants their rights, but the bride realizes she is not her own. She has been bought with a price, and she belongs to the purchaser. Amen. Now, she identifies herself as she calls herself his garden. So let my beloved come to his garden. And this expresses the desire or the longing in the bride's heart for her Lord, which is her lover. Now, we know knowing about God and His program and in coming to God, you can come to God in many different stages, and many have come to God and they are free from the condemnation of original sin. They've accepted Him as their Savior from sin, but He's never become their Lord and certainly never become their husband, which is their lover. And they still love the things of the world. Now, they say that they have a new birth, and they say that the old Adam is dead. But the prophet said, invisible union, just see who their lover is, and that'll tell you whether they're born again or not. But here the bride is now recognizing that he is not only her Savior, but he is her Lord. He is her King. He is her lover. He is everything to her. Now, don't let that embarrass you, because that's what it is. So she invites him now to come into his garden and partake of the pleasant fruits. Now, what fruits would she have to offer the king? Absolutely nothing on her own. How could she then turn? Now, I want you to notice that there is a shift in the way that she says this, because she first says, oh, come north wind and blow upon my garden, that the pleasant fruits may go out. But now that the north wind has come and blown upon the garden, it changes it from being her garden to being in the possessive of her Lord. Now she says he has come into his garden. So what made the difference? The wind of the Holy Ghost. Now, our praise, our prayer, our reading, our Bible, all that is well and good. But you know as well as I know, until we are anointed, until we are the Christ bride, that is not enough just quoting the word and quoting the message. Jesus was Jesus when he was born. But his name was to be called Jesus, but he must become Jesus Christos, which is Jesus Christ, the anointed one. You might be bride by seed. You might be bride by nature. You might be bride by election. But you've got to be bride that is anointed by the Holy Ghost. Not just anointed to run and jump and shout now, but to anointed to take your position in the end time. In order to be the Messiah of this hour, don't let this choke you now, well, there must be a Messiah, an anointed one. And the church said, amen. Watch now. In verse 16, awake, O north wind. Come thou south and blow upon my garden. Now watch how she knows she is so dependent, though she belongs to him, but she is so dependent upon the Holy Ghost to be able to blow upon her and bring anything out of her that is good. It'll take the work of God to do it. Now notice how she approaches this. May the north wind blow upon my garden. Amen. That the spices may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden. When? What was the change? After the north wind blows, it changes the possessive from her to him. Look, different. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long we've been around the message of the hour. I hope that we never get to a spot that we think we don't need the Holy Ghost every day of our life. We need the Holy Ghost to help us sing, to help us pray, to help us preach. You need the Holy Ghost to help you say amen the right way. You can sit there and say amen, amen, amen. But there's a difference in you saying it and him saying it. The Holy Ghost is what we need in our lives to help us to be what we cannot be our own selves. You know as well as I know that Jesus took there and took the scripture in Isaiah 61 and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Why? Because he walked into the anointing of that prophecy of the word. Oh, may the hour arrive for the bride that we are no longer shamefaced, that we can look into the word and say, this day, this generation, the word of God in bride form is being fulfilled. Malachi 4 has been fulfilled. Luke 17, 30. Revelation 10. But there is word that is written about this bride too. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my, the bride reciprocates the bridegroom's love and she calls him. He calls her my love and she answers back, my beloved. Now, it's taking some time for her thinking to change in relation to her position to the bridegroom. And it was day in and day out, sitting at the table of Solomon, as this was the type. And this little Shunammite, coming from the north country and being a shepherdess of a flock, being very poor, very small, minute place. And Solomon, we are told, went up through there on a journey one time and saw her. And when he saw her, he took her to his house, his palace. Now, Solomon already had a bunch of wives and a bunch of concubines. But when he saw this little Shulamite girl, she totally captivated his heart. So he brings her into the palace to make her his special wife. Oh, glory. But you imagine now, it took a long time for her to get to the place that she could accept her newfound position that she was in the church of the firstborn. I'm sure you saw it in the paper today on the internet or whatever more, that there was a new member of royalty that was born over in England. And oh my, the pictures, you know, the little baby will be out in a few days or maybe some even today and on the internet. And royalty was born. Royalty was born. Another child of the Duchess and the Duke and so on and so on. I'm going to tell you one thing. There ain't no telling how many hundred royal kids are sitting in here tonight. I mean, they're not royal to the Duke and the Duchess of England, but they are royalty to the King of Heaven. Hallelujah. Your picture might not have been in the paper. It might not have been on the internet when you got the Holy Ghost and when you was born again, but it made news in heaven, brother. It made news in heaven when another high-born son took the breath of life upon the earth and recognized he had come to his Father. Hallelujah. Watch, Jesus admires and commends his garden. She invites him to enter into the enjoyment of his garden. She says, awake, north wind, come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen. And where was this? In a garden. Where did the fall transpire? In a garden. Where was reconciliation, the step of reconciliation made? In another garden of Gethsemane. And where is the capstone of God's work going to head up? In another garden. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is working on a garden. Well, if there's a garden, there must be an Eve around somewhere. Hey,
Amen. I said if there's a garden and there's an Adam, there's got to be a second Eve. Look around. You're sitting by them tonight. They're sitting right here. Hallelujah. Who is it? The second Eve. Look, Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour was come, this is Jesus now sitting down at the Last Supper. He sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You see, fellowship with loving and lively believers is his greatest fulfillment of joy. Now you imagine that he could have communication and have talking and conversation with cherubims, seraphims, zooms. He could go out into the universe and my, all of that. But yet that does not excite the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is not kin to a star. Jesus is not kin to the dark holes in the universe or the cosmos. He is kin to those of us mortals that are born of his Spirit. Can you imagine? He'd rather spend time with you than spend time with a seraphim. Lord have mercy. He would rather spend time with you, talking to you. Why? You are of his genos, of his own kind. Amen. Hallelujah. Hell, you talk about redemption to a seraphim, he'll look at you funny and don't understand what you're talking about. You talk about amazing grace to a cherubim, he can't understand it, but talk about it to me. I know what you're saying. Talk about it to this boy, to this woman, to that man, to that girl. Why? Because we once were lost, but now we are found. Amen. How is it that our beloved loves to sit in our fellowship? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, the productions of grace are fruits of the soul. The products of grace are fruits in the soul. So whenever she invites him into the garden to eat or behold or partake of the pleasant fruit, she is inviting him to come and acknowledge that which he did in her. It's not that she done it. Come look what I've done. I made this and I made that and I've worked this out and I've done this, that, and other. She's saying, come and look at what you've done in me. Look at the work that you have done in me. For I am your workmanship. I was created in Christ Jesus before the world began unto good works. Is that what Paul said? You imagine now that believers should be more concerned then about giving Christ a place to enjoy his pleasant fruits than any other thing in their life. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I let them do whatever they want to do. And I'll never have a preacher to preach on them, because I love them so much. And I'll just let them do anything they want to do and go wherever they want to go. And there'll never be any do's and don'ts. And thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. This is one sure way I know I'm a son of God. If I do any little thing wrong, the Lord tears the hide off of me and I shout once I get over the hair tie, the hide tearing off. Once I'm healed up, man, I cut a spell because I know I'm a son or daughter of God. If I was a Laodicean, he would let me go ahead and do what I want to do, but I'm not a Laodicean. I'm a child of God. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now listen to the invitation. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Now notice what he's doing. He's referring to the custom which was now used during this time frame, that whenever you knocked on the door, you spoke your name. This is Donnie from Nazareth. This is Donnie from Judea. This is so-and-so from so-and-so. So Jesus is quoting the custom that was prevalent at that time. This is Jesus from eternity. This is Jesus, the bright and the morning star, the lily of the valley. Aren't you glad you opened? Praise God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Now, if he's got a voice, then he's got to be saying something. So what's he saying? Is he standing there knocking? Now, most of us, whenever we come to him, I'm Jesus the Savior. I'm the Son of God. And we open the door and accepted him as our Savior. But many people only let him in the door and they put him in a corner and never let him go anywhere else in the rest of their house. But the bride says, come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. Go in the bedroom. Go in my closet. Go upstairs. Go down in the basement. You've got free access to everything I do, everything I watch, the music I listen to. Come on in, Lord Jesus. And if you see anything that displeases you, let's have a house cleaning, Lord. Let's begin right here and we'll go from here down to here. We'll clean it out. Now watch what he says. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him. Sup means have supper. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus standing at your heart's door wanting to have supper with you? Children, who are we? Who are we? It would be one thing for me to go knock on his door, but that's not even the way he portrays it. He portrays it that it's him coming knocking on my door. Say, hey, Donnie, you busy for supper? What about me and Kim and you have supper together, Donnie? What about it, JD? Can we have supper together? Who am I that the King of glory, the eternal God, would come to my house and knock on my door and not just save me? Can't you see where Laodicea stops? Jesus don't want to save you and leave you. He wants to save you for fellowship. He wants to save you and lead to an intimate walk and an intimate relationship and have supper with you every night. Oh, praise God. If any man will hear my voice and open the door and let me come in, I'll have supper with him. And he can have supper with me. Supper with the ancients was the main social meal. To have supper with someone, to be invited to break bread, as they called it, with someone was the ultimate. It was the ultimate identification of acceptance from this individual. So to have supper and be invited to their house, oh my, in all countries, to eat together is a sign of intimacy. So when Eve and the serpent was eating together, I guess you know the rest of the story. Now the greatest joy of a child of God should be to give Jesus joy. I don't think you see it. I don't think you see it. That you have the ability to give the Lord God joy. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And he says, I am come into my garden. Now what is a garden? It is a spot of ground reclaimed from the world. A chosen spot. Many folks are plowing the gardens here now in East Tennessee and maybe wherever you're from and plowing them and disking them up. Some have got lettuce out and onions and this and that and the other coming up. And they had to go out and pick a certain spot. Now, if we're going to raise vegetables that require full sun, they would not go up into the woods where the forest is so dense that you only get from 2 to 4 hours of sunlight. Because it will not produce. The plants will grow. Some of them will. But they will not produce their proper fruits without the amount of sunlight, which is full sun, which is 6 to 8 hours. 4 to 6 on some roses. In order to have it, you've got to have the right spot. So you walk out and say, well, I don't want it too close to the house, and I don't want it exactly over there. No, that's a drainage ditch over there, and there's too much rock over there. So what do? You select a spot, and you make that your garden, and you chose that. Now, there might have been 10,000 acres all around you, but you chose that particular spot. And you went 20 feet wide and 30 feet long or whatever more, and you chose the dimensions in which that garden would be. God chose you for the dimensions of this age. He chose you to be in the seventh age, hallelujah, at the end of the seventh angel's message, and God multiplied all that together in order to produce the spiritual dimensions required for a bride. He could have put you in the first step or the third step, but He chose to put you right up here on top of the pyramid so you could be capped off right at the end time. God reclaimed you. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But you were separated by distinguishing grace. So grace separated you from the rest of the earth and called you out, and if need be, put a small fence around you to keep the animals and the beasts of Laodicea away from you. Now, some folks, as we've said before, may look at that fence as bondage and they're terrified of it. But you're on the inside looking out, and to you, it's not bondage. It's keeping you. Thank God for a standard in this last day that preaches to us holiness that God requires for His people. Amen. Notice Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, amen, into His marvelous light. You are hedged about with divine protection. Praise be to God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not. Let America do what they want to do. Let the Republicans and the Democrats and the Supreme Court and whoever do whatever they want to do. But Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's His words. Argue with Him about it. This garden is carefully cultivated. No matter how rich the soil is, and you may take your soil down to a place where they can be able to test it for the pH level and how much phosphorus you're going to need and how much ammonia nitrate you're going to need and how much this and that and the other. And the guy tests it and said, man, your soil, boy, that's wonderful soil. That is really, really good. It won't do any good if you don't plant no seeds. And then it won't do any good if you don't cultivate that, because it's amazing that we church members grow faster than elect church members sometimes. Any y'all ever spray Miracle Grow in your weeds? Really? You ever sow weed seeds? Really? Where do they come from? They're everywhere. They do better than your corn sometimes. And you go out there and go chop them out and chop them out and chop them out. And come on now. Oh, that's what folks don't like about going to church, a preacher with a hoe. Amen. They want a preacher that comes out with a pillow, you know, put it under their head while they snooze in church. They want a preacher with a soft hand that rubs them on top of the head. Yea, I say unto thee, thou art wonderful, thou art good, thou art sweet, thou art great, thou art the best son I've ever had. Oh, I love thee so much, thou art, thou art, thou art. But man, when a preacher comes out of the hole on his back, oh dear God, oh no, it's another hoeing weekend. Yeah, every time we go to church, we need hoeing. Come on, saints, praise the Lord. Amen. Right now, springtime, it's not just the good seeds that are going. Weeds are coming up like crazy. And you know how it is. There are certain cycles that weeds will explode. And when they do, God sends us men of God with hoes thrown over their back. Oh, they'd rather come, yay, rub you on the head real good, make you slick, your head slick as a peeled onion. But the truth of it is, you gotta be cultivated. You gotta be chopped sometimes. You gotta be cut around and hold on in order to grow. Now remember, this garden is not designed for your pleasure. This garden is designed for the pleasure of the King. And the King said it this way in St. John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth forth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Ooh, that sounded painful, didn't it? Every fruit that does, every branch that brings forth fruit, the Father will actually purge that branch and cut it back. Cut the dead off of it, the excess off of it, the sucker vine off of it. He'll cut it back so that it might be more fruitful. Not at the pleasure of the vine, not at the pleasure of the man standing there watching it, but at the pleasure of the Father. The Father, the Holy Ghost, is the husbandman of Happy Valley Church. I'm not the husbandman of this church. I'm only the pastor, the shepherd. I'm the man with the loppers and the cutters and the poppers and the sprayers and whatever more. But I am not the husbandman. You better pray and hope to God I'm not, because you'll never make a rapture if I'm the husbandman of this church. Tim Pruitt is not the husbandman of his church, or Brother Tim Humes, or whoever more. The Holy Ghost, the Father, is the husbandman of the garden. But there are men that are led by the Holy Ghost, and God puts those tools in their hands and say, preach this! Spray that! Cut this! Hold that! Chop that! Watch this in Isaiah 62:4. We know that Israel, the elect of God, Israel, runs a parallel to the bride in the New Testament as Zion does. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezbollah, which means my delight is in her. Friends, it takes a revelation for us to be able to believe that the Lord God can say this. You think God means his words? So you think God just says things frivolous like we as human beings do? If God is saying this, he's saying it because it's real. Hephzibah. She will no longer, what was you and I before we came to the Word? And even many of us that were Baptists and Methodists and Church of God and whatever more. But for the most part, we were a desolate Christian. We struggled barely to get by in a Methodist church or Pentecostal or whatever more, trying to be what we could be at the best we could. But we were in a desolate land. Our eyes were closed up in Laodicea, but we needed some Malachi 4 coon grease. Woo! We needed our eyes anointed with the eyesalve. Amen. We needed the shackles of Laodicea broke off of us, and that we would lose the term. Notice, she was at one time called forsaken. That's what I was. That's what she was. But that ain't who I am tonight. I am not forsaken. I am Hephzibah. I am Hephzibah. I am his delight. He delights in me. He loves me. He loves to have fellowship with me. I am not forsaken. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am Hephzibah. thou shalt be called Ephzibah, and thy land Beulah. So you're called, my delight is in her, and your garden is called married. That's what Beulah is, married. Beulah Land, the song Beulah Land, Squire Parsons wrote. This is where he gets it from, this verse of scripture, Beulah. So who did your land marry? The gardener, of course. All right. So you are called his delight, and your land is now no longer forsaken. Your land is not divorced. Your land is not idle. Your land is not single. Your land is Beulah. Psalms 132 verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. And remember, Zion is a parallel to the bride. The Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it. Can you imagine God desiring something? He hath desired it for his habitation. Now listen to what he says. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. God, what do you desire? I desire Zion. I desire to have supper at your house every night. Let me add a little more to you. God don't want to skip breakfast with you either. God don't want to skip lunch, even if you're going through McDonald's drive-thru or Taco Bell. That's how much he loves you. Amen. And he don't want to skip your 2 hour, you know, your 2 o'clock break. He don't want to skip your 10 o'clock break. As a matter of fact, he wants to be with you 24/7. You are his Hephzibah. He delights in you. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. God, look what this does to God when a Hephzibah can find her place. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Can you imagine me as a mortal, you as a mortal, bringing God joy? And God gets so filled with joy, he just wants to sing. And I can assure you, it is the greatest love song that has ever been sung. Oh my. This garden is kept clean and orderly. St. John 15:3, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Amen. Revelation 19:8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, which is a miracle in the last day. Amen. You imagine the bride walking down here in a wedding dress, and everywhere she's at, there's nothing but just soot and black and filth and muck and gum. Everywhere you are, the soles of her feet all around her. Everywhere she goes, it's nothing but just stuff that would taint a beautiful white wedding gown. That's the miraculous of you living in this age. That you're living everywhere around it. It's around you every day. And every now and then as a human being, you get too close and you get some of that on you. But thank God for a bleach. Amen. Call the blood of the Lord Jesus. Little children, I write unto you that any man sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Come on, church. We live in this dark, filthy, smutty world, but there's going to be a bride that's going to leave out of this world without one spot, one wrinkle, or any such thing. What is it? She is Hephzibah. She is his garden kept clean by the washing of the water of the word. Oh my, Revelation 19:8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. In verse 14, look out, devil, here I come. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. What I am here, I will be there in a greater way. If you're a filthy Laodicean, you'll never ride no white horse in the coming battle. Come on, church. If you're a filthy, spotted up Laodicean, you ain't going to be riding. You'll be caught on that pale horse of death. What is a garden? Oh my, this is the part that really rubs people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touching is more polluting. That is implying participation. It's not being around them out here. There's hardly anywhere you could go where it's not touched by civilization and sin and science and all that sort of thing. And it's not you going out there, well, Brother Donnie, I've got to go to Walmart and get my groceries. I've got to work with guys that cuss. I've got to do all that. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about, well, go start a Christian business and go to a Christian Walmart and go to, well, if you do it, there'll be hypocrites on there before you know it. Amen. You can't even get hypocrites out of the church. But that's Walmart. Jesus started this church holy and true back in the beginning. Wasn't long hypocrites was in it. So you ain't going to keep the hypocrites out, but I know there's one gathering. There won't be one hypocrite, and that's the rapture. Ooh, come out from among them. It's not you and I never going out there, but it's us participating with what they do. Why? We are a garden. We are enclosed. Our soul is protected by the providence of the Word of God. Do we choose not to be like the world? Hallelujah. Now watch, separation in Scripture is twofold. Notice how Paul deals with this. He said, wherefore come out from among them. And then he says, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So the separation is twofold. You come out from among them by participation, by association, by nature. And then when you do, you go unto. So you cannot go unto him until you come out from them. You cannot participate of his divine nature while you're still participating with the world. Oh my, you got quiet on me. Separation in desire, in motive, in objective. Praise the Lord. Ethically, you are clean and washed and loosed from your sins. Watch this. He says in verse 18, And I will be a father unto you. Now wait a minute. You mean you don't receive him in the form of fatherhood just when you accept him as Savior? Now, this is an error, friends, that is very much taught and believed by millions of people. That just as soon as you accept him as Savior, you move into the first place of fatherhood. That's contrary to the Word of God. Separation leads to the full manifestation of his fatherhood to you as a son or daughter. Now, these are not my words. This is what the Bible says. Listen to what he said now in verse 17. Watch it tie together. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. When? Now, you received him as your Savior. That's the first step. But you are not yet entered into fellowship until he receives you. Now people say, I'm saved, I'm bride, I'm this, I'm that. That's them doing the talking. That's them doing the claiming. I'm waiting to see what he has to say about it. They can say they're bride, they're elect, they're going the rapture all they want to. If they're painted up like the world, look like a bunch of Jezebels. I'm sorry, but the Father will not receive them into being part of the bride. And that's not my stipulation, that's the husbandman himself. Oh my. He says, be you separate, come out from among them, then I will receive you after you say you have received me. Yes. Now notice, I will receive you and will be a father unto you. You mean you don't get the fatherhood first when you get saved? That's backward to scripture. Will be a father unto you. The reward of separation is full manifestation of fatherhood. The reward. Can't you see why Satan don't care if the Laodiceans just come to church and accept Christ so called? They'll never receive the full benefit of fatherhood. As long as, oh, you don't need to do this and dress, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. That's old fashioned. He knows this principle will keep them away from the full benefit of fatherhood. I don't want him just to be my savior. I want to know him as my father. The reward of separation is full manifestation of divine fatherhood. Unhindered communion and worship. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall. Not you are. I'm sorry, children, you don't know this is in your Bible. And you shall be my sons and daughters when God, after you've separated, saith the Lord Almighty. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us therefore unto him without the camp of the Laodiceans. Bearing his reproach.
Amen.
Praise God. Notice this. The garden will also bring forth fruitful service. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You see, world conformity guarantees the loss of these benefits to so-called Christians. There is no way that you can merge in the work. Can you imagine Jesus smoking and drinking a little wine on the side? And Jesus doing a lot of things that folks claim to be Christians today. And Jesus doing all that sort of thing. And they said, well, separate unto me. Hallelujah. The government's legalizing marijuana. I wonder how long it will be before the churches do. Arrington, how many of them come to church high on something anyway? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I am too. I'm drunk every time I come to church. And if I ain't drunk when I come, I try to leave drunk when I go. But you see, mine's that new wine. Some of y'all know because y'all just as bad of drunks as I am. Praise be to God. And I'm hooked, my brother. I mean, I'm hooked bad. I got my first taste of this when I was a little bitty tiny boy. And here I am, an old man now, and I need it more than ever before. I'm addicted to the power of God. I'm addicted to the Holy Ghost. I'm addicted to hearing the Word. I'm addicted to going to church. I'm addicted to worship. I'm addicted. Hallelujah. I've got to have it. I can't live without going to church. I can't live without worshiping my Lord. I can't live without having supper with Jesus. I can't do it. I cannot be a church member. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is your example.
Amen.
Not some backslidden person operating a website or some backslidden preacher. Here's your example. You see, weeds are not allowed to grow in this garden. 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. You see, these are weeds that try to come up in the unconverted flesh and merge their way into the secret garden of your heart. Oh, you're going to get quiet on the shores of the world. your soul claimed, your garden set aside, but because there's five gates on the outside, see, taste, feel, smell, hear, five more gates on the inside, spirit, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection, Satan trying to gain access into the secret garden which is enclosed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if he cannot get inside that soul to own it anymore, he'll try to press against that soul with troubles and worries and difficulties and cause the flesh to get aggravated and upset and have envy and strife. Don't you see what he's trying to do? Cause them weeds to go in your garden. But you need to stand there on guard. Hallelujah. With that Holy Ghost hold. Some things God will have the preacher to chop out. And there's some things you've got to get rid of yourself. Some of you waiting on God to take this from you and that from you. He's done give you a hold. Use it. Lay aside evil speaking. Lay aside malice. That's something you got to do. Use your hold and cut that devil's head off with it. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits. 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven. Notice Paul ain't telling to the preachers to do this to the people, but he's telling the people to apply this to themselves. Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And you tell me, how is that possible? How can any man keep himself unspotted from the world? Totally impossible. Unless he's born again. Let me close with this. Song of Solomon chapter 6:2. My beloved has gone down into his garden. Oh my. So here the bride is represented as Christ's garden. And now she sees by revelation his condescension. Not now condescending from heaven to the earth to become a sinner in her stead, but him condescending into her very own soul for joy, for fellowship, for supper. My beloved has gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. The spouse in union with her beloved is a garden enclosed. Now she's so moved. Notice what chapter this is now. 6. Number of men. Amen. Christ is dwelling amidst the fruits in his garden, and the bride, under the laboring number of 6, has finally caught the 7, the revelation of completion. Her saying this in chapter 6 instead of chapter 7 is a paradox within itself. That she's laboring under 6. She's laboring under carnality. She's laboring under Laodicea. But the man from the 8th slips through the 7th and comes down to the 6th and makes it real to her while she's still in time. My body's still in time. Your body's still in time. Our thinking is still in time. But God, amen, has broke through eternity from the 8th day down into our soul and in the 6th day made known to us while we are laboring and laboring under the number man, and God slipped this revelation in our heart. Our Romeo has knocked on the window. I said, our Romeo has knocked on the window and called you by name. Come away, Juliet. Come away, Juliet. Josephus relates this, and I will close, that very early every morning,
Solomon with great pomp. The gates of Jerusalem would swing open. And Solomon would go to a land called Ethan, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. A pleasant place, abounding with gardens and flowers and flowing water. So watch, here she's picking up on his behavior and saying, my beloved has come down into his garden, into the beds of spices, and he's gathering the lilies. Here the Shulamite is now saying what she's seeing and seeing what she's saying. Do you understand? She's saying what she's seeing Solomon do, because this was an everyday thing that Solomon would come out with all of his pomp and go down to this special place. It was not in Jerusalem, but he had to come out of Jerusalem and go to where the garden was and then come, amen, and then come back up. What was he doing? He was descending, and Jerusalem was up on the mountain and Ethan was down below, so he had to condescend from Jerusalem. Oh, glory! Down to where she was in Ethan, he would come down through an act of condescension, and she was seeing what he was doing every day. And she began to liken herself. Oh, I see. I am that garden. He's coming with pomp and splendor and glory. Don't you understand, friend? He's not in here tonight packing a cross. He's not in here tonight, hallelujah, packing a bunch of nails and a hammer. He has come in this place tonight with pomp and glory and deity and revelation. Amen. And the magnificence of his person. He's not here tonight to die. He is here to raise you and I from the dead. He is here with life. He is here with resurrection. He's come with pomp and glory and splendor. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah. Can you, Shulamite, can you say what you're seeing? And see what you're saying. You can say you're bride, but can you see what you're saying? You can say you're his, but can you see what you're saying? And can you say what you're seeing? I see him coming down among us. I see him revealing his nature, his character. He ain't just doing it here, he's doing it around the world. Believe me, I'm in contact with people in every continent of this earth. Brothers all over this world. And what our God's doing, he ain't doing it just down at Brother Tim Hume's church or Donnie Reagan's church or some other man. It is a global move. It ain't one man no more. All the one man scriptures have been fulfilled. There are no more one man scriptures. Come on now, get good quiet on me. It is a body move. God's got a bunch of preachers with hoes on their back. He's got pastors with hoes and evangelists with hoes and teachers with hoes. What's it doing? Cultivating the bride and getting the bride to the place she can be like a thorn. That she can say, come my beloved. Come my beloved. Into your beds of spices. Gather your lilies. Which means to crop them with the hand. How many has it gathered since I've been here as the pastor? You see, he loves you so much. He loves to have fellowship with you while you're in Ethan. And then when your purpose in Ethan is finished, then he by his hand will crop you from the earth. And he'll gather those lilies into the sixth dimension. He must really love lilies. Isn't it amazing? Jesus never did say, consider the chrysanthemum. Consider the marigold, the petunia, the pansy, the consider the lilies. He loves lilies. I hope I'm looking at a bunch of them right here tonight. Remember the sermon Brother Branham preached years and years ago, not even on tape, Reverend Mr. Lilly? Wonder why I didn't call him Reverend Mr. Pansy. Reverend Mr. Hydrangea, Chrysanthemum. Reverend Mr. Lily. Because the lily is the epitome of God's flower. It presses and it presses. And here the bride looks at her destiny and she sees, he fellowships with me now. And when my life is over, he don't let the lily die. He comes and crops the lily and takes it into his presence. You're a winner either way. Heavenly Father, embolden us tonight, my Lord. If the garden, if Hathom could talk, how honored it must have been. When great King Solomon, when monarchs and potentates and kings from the known world would want to spend a little time with him. Maybe their ambassadors would come from Ethiopia, from Africa, from Asia, from different parts. To see of the wisdom of Solomon. Yet Solomon loved his garden so much. Every day, he would go down to his garden. He never got too busy. It's hard for me to comprehend, but I believe it's true. That if one of the angels of God were standing by your throne with a pressing request of this or that. And one of these saints here in the time of desperate need. You would pause that angel. If need be, to hear the cry of your children. I don't know if the angels eat supper or not, but I do know you'd rather eat with me than you would with wormwood. How can I comprehend such a thing? How can I comprehend that you want to sup with me? That you love me talking to you. You love it when I sing to you. Not when I'm in church. Not just whenever, three times a week we gather together, but every day of my life. I'm grateful, Lord. I used to wonder why I had to come through Pentecost before I come to the message, but now I look back and I realize that was necessary for me. Because even in there, I learned a personal experience with walking with you that I realized many of the message people, somehow they've just missed it some way. Back yonder, Lord, I learned the importance of being able to talk to you every day. And once I came to this message, I refused to let that go. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be able to preach the same to your children. That you want to be with them on the job, when the sisters are making the beds or making apple pie, either one. You love to hear them say in between slicing the apples and putting the sugar and the cinnamon and making the crust. You love to hear them say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I worship you today, Lord. You've been so good to me. Lord, you give me a husband, you give me children or whatever more. No matter how things difficult things are, they've still got many things to thank you for. Help us, I pray, Lord. Dear Jesus, would you come into my garden and eat of my spices? Where the first Eve offered her spices to the wrong one. She offered the fruits of her garden to the wrong one. We as the second Eve beckon to our second Adam. And we say, come to your garden, my beloved. Eat of your pleasant fruits. Let the north wind blow. Blow into your nose the works of grace which you have displayed in our lives. We who were lost, we who were wretched. We who were in darkness as the rest of the world had tempers and all kinds of things. But miracle after miracle has transpired in our lives. You've washed us, cleaned us, took away our vile temper, took away our wretchedness. And now we can sit at your table, the Song of Solomon chapter 1, and our myrrh, our frankincense will begin to rise in the nose of the King. Hallelujah. We can say he will lay betwixt my breast all night long. I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, stir not up nor awake my love till he please. I know people don't understand it. They don't like to hear it. But there's a degree that the church must be militant. She must be militant. Amen. We are your protectors. We can't put the protection of the word in the charge of the Supreme Court. Lord, they're hearing things this week about gay marriage and all that. Only you know which way it's going to go. They've already made so many decisions that are contrary to your word. We cannot put your protection in the charge of the Supreme Court or the Senate or the House or the President. But you called your church and you put horns on her head. And the prophet said them horns was your protection. That's how you protect yourself with a God-given bunch of people. Help us, Lord Jesus. Long as I've got breath, help me to stand and protect your word, your character, your name. Grant it, Lord God. And if need be, I will be militant. I don't want to be. But I am an army. I am part of an army with banners, which means I am called to be militant, both offensive and defensive. I will not just stand and defend my property, but at times I will operate on the offense because I am called to do so. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. North wind. North wind. Come this way tonight. Blow upon my garden, north wind. Blow upon my soul, north wind, and perform the miraculous. Transform it. Change it. Transcend human ability and make it his garden. His works of grace. His miraculous fragrance of calamus, frankincense, aloes, and myrrh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many wants to be a garden of the Lord Jesus? How many wants your life to be a spiritual parallel of that of Solomon? That every day the Lord Jesus wants to condescend, as it were, from Jerusalem to come down the road with golden pomp into Hashem. Some days he may gather lilies. Other days it's to check the spices. It's to make sure there's no weeds. To make sure the crop is growing good. You have his personal attention. And that's his promise every day you live. Brother Donnie, I don't always feel him. Neither do I. But his promise to me is greater than feeling. I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. Praise be to God. Can we lay our hands on one another if you would? Let's offer a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we stand in this place tonight, Lord, with the sheep here of Happy Valley, we have visitors with us as well that came for the banquet last night and they've stayed over to be in service with us, and we're honored that they would be with us, Lord. Lord, you're the only one who knows the need of every one of these people. You're the only one that can go down and minister into that need. And we know it is your custom. You specialize in the work of condescension. Hallelujah. You've condescended once again and came by this way again tonight, Lord God. I pray that you'd minister to every need. Not only the visible audience, but those that are streaming you tonight, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, maybe some of them feel so far away from you. They're in a very low spot in their life. Lord, may you help them. Oh, Jesus, may they realize the King has condescended right here in this place tonight to speak to their hearts. May your great presence come, Lord, and minister to every one of these people. Lord Jesus, we call upon your name and we ask you for peace. We ask you for healing. We ask you for deliverance. And Lord God, I speak to the devil that will try to bind your children. Satan, I say to you what Moses was instructed to say to Pharaoh. Israel,
is my son, my firstborn. Let my son go free. I say to you tonight, Satan, we are no longer yours. You have no claim on us. You are a liar, and we call your bluff. Our Lord Jesus defeated you 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. I join my faith with these children of God tonight. May every sickness lose its hold upon their life. May depression, may lust, pornography, whatever it is that they're dealing with. We say to you tonight, Satan, you are defeated by the power of our Lord. Our Lord condemned sin from heaven 2,000 years ago that he might walk on this earth and claim a garden space. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God has called us out and separated us unto his call. And now we say to you, take your hand off of us. This is our mountain. This is our property. This is my body. It don't belong to you, devil. This is my heart. This is my mind. These are my eyes. These are my hands. They don't belong to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say unto you, turn God's people loose. You have no claim on us. You have no hold on us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. What do you have need of tonight, children? Reach out to him now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, may the wind of the Holy Ghost blow through this place tonight. May you walk out of here. Maybe you don't need anything, but you got a wife on your heart or a son or a daughter. Hold that request right there and believe God for him right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. You are ours and we are yours. Come into my garden, my beloved, my lover, my king. My El Shaddai, my Jehovah Jireh, my Jehovah Shalom, my banner, my protector, my guide, my lover, my Lord, my King, my deliverer. Hallelujah, my bride and morning star, lily of my valleys. Amen. You're the one who lifts me up when I'm down, heals me when I'm sick, the one who encourages me when I become weary. You're everything to me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Lord. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I trust you enjoyed having supper with Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't you love him, children? Hey, let's sing something together. Let's just worship him just a bit before we go. Oh, my. Whatever you need is tonight. If you're sick, put the image of a well you in front of you. And keep marching until you become that image. And keep confessing his word. And God will make your body obey your confession. You say, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either, but I believe it. And many times believing is more important than understanding. Jesus never commended anybody for understanding miracles. He commended them for believing. Praise the Lord, saints. Let's give our Lord another hand of praise, can we? Oh, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
I've been set free.
Yes, Lord.
My God, my Savior. And like a bird,
my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. God, my Savior, ransom me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace, the Lord has promised. Good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace, the earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below, He will be forever mine. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, His mercy. Set free, my God, my Savior, ransom.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah,
and
Lord.
Of love,
hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
His mercy,
oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
In love.
Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. All us praise Him, children. He's so worthy. The King is walking among the lilies. He's walking among the beds of the spices. He loves to hear you praise Him. He loves for you to worship Him. Amen.
His mercy.
Yes, my Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Amen. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Anybody else need prayer? I'll tell you, deliverance is here. Hallelujah. I said deliverance. He said, how do you know that? Because the deliverer is here himself. The prophet said, where God is, supernatural takes place. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a healer. He's a resurrector. He's everything we have need of. And he's right here in our midst tonight. He's walking in the beds of spices. He's here among the lilies. Hallelujah.
Sing the song Joel's been singing. Going up yonder.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going, going so soon. If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going so soon, tell them for me that I'm going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with my Lord, headed for glory, going up yonder. I'm going up yonder, going up yonder. Be with my Lord. I can take the pain and the heartache that it brings. There's a comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. If God will give me grace, I'm gonna run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Don't look for me, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Going up yonder to be with my Lord. Heading for glory, going up yonder. Anybody ask you where I'm going, where I'm going, going so soon. If anybody ask you where I'm going, oh, where this bride's going, going so soon. For me, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. I'm headed for glory, going in the rapture. Church, we're going in the rapture. Oh, I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Yonder, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. can take the pain and the heartache that it brings. There's a comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. My God will give me grace. He'll help me run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Going up yonder, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm gonna be with my yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with my Lord. Going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with my Lord. If you want to know where I'm going, oh, where I'm going so soon. If anybody asks you where this bride's going, where we are going so soon. Don't be ashamed, just tell them, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm gonna be with my Lord. Going up yonder. Going up yonder. Going up yonder. To be with our Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Going up yonder. Going up yonder. To be with my Happy day, happy day, when Jesus was, when Jesus was, He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus was, Jesus was.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
How to walk.
It was a happy day. Happy day. When Jesus was. When Jesus was. When my Jesus was. All my sins away. Every day, every day. Oh, happy day, happy day, happy day. It was a happy day. Oh, happy, 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 happy day. I'm so glad I've recognized the mighty God is here today. My heart burned as he talked along. Aren't you glad you've known? Little bride, are you glad you've known? I'm so glad we've known him. Soon he'll come and we'll be gone. I'm so glad we've recognized that you've known. I'm so glad I've known him. Soon he'll come and this bride will be gone.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
I give myself away.
Lord Jesus.
Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Yourself to him tonight.
I give myself away.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. What haven't you give to him tonight? Why don't you give him
away? I give myself away so you can use me. Lord, take my heart. Take my
plans,
I place them in your hands. I give myself away.
What part of you have you not given? Give it to him tonight.
I give myself away.
Yes, Lord.
I want you to use me. I give myself away. So you can use me. Well, my life is not my own. Yes, to you I belong. And I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. Oh, hallelujah. I said I give myself to you. I give myself away.
Oh, glory. Yes, Lord. I give myself, Lord, all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my being tonight, Lord. I give it to you.
Yes, I give myself away.
Hallelujah.
I give myself.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I want you to use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use.
Oh, tell him like this.
I said my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you.
Help me now.
I said my life is not my own. To the King my heart belongs. I give myself to you. I give myself away.
Hallelujah. The universal sign of surrendering is when you lift your hands to Him. You're letting Him know, Lord, I surrender my all to You. Every faucet of my life, every part of my heart, every fiber of my being, I surrender to You tonight. Oh, why don't You just take and defy gravity tonight? Let the King know, Lord, this life belongs to You. This heart belongs to You. I give everything that I am to You tonight, Lord. I want You to use me, Lord. Help me to be a blessing to somebody. Help me to stand on behalf of the gospel. Help me to stand and be the Word of God made flesh in this hour. Hallelujah. You can use. Oh, I give myself away. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life, it is in Your hands, and Lord, I'm longing, I want to see. Oh, glory to God, Your desire revealed in me. I give myself away. All right. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be His desire tonight. I want to be the desire of the King. Hallelujah. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. I want You to use me. Hallelujah. Don't you just love Him tonight? Lord, I want Your desire to be revealed inside of me. Just use me, Lord. I want to be used by the King. Amen. Jesus, use me. Please don't refuse me. Dear Lord, I'm in. Jesus, use me. Amen. Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. Even though it's humble, oh, and even though it's humble, hallelujah, Lord, help my will to crumble, even though the cost will be great. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Service in the morning 11. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, use me. Yes, Lord. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, though the cost be great, I'll work for You.
Dear Lord, I'll be Your witness if You my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of Thee. My eyes are laid, I see Thee,
Lord Jesus,
upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me Thy servant be.
When Jesus used me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely
there's a work that I can do. Amen. And even though it's humble, grant it, Lord. Lord, help my will to crumble. Oh, the cost be great, I'll work for you. He's the lily of the valley. Yes, he's the bright and morning star. He's the fair. Sharon, yes, he means all.